ॐ श्री महागणपतये नमः। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतो सहनौ भुनक्तो सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ।
Let us read the first mantra so that we will remember the mantras.
Om Ishavasyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा गृधः कस्य सुद्धनम्।
सो हियर् दि फस्ट् इन् दि फस्ट् मन्त्र द टीचिङ्ग् इस् प्रसेण्टेड् इन् सच् अ वे that there are four stages, as it were. One has to protect oneself. So protecting oneself is only through Atma Jnana Nishtha. Atma Rakshanam means protection of one's own self. How can one protect oneself? Only through the ascertained, clear, doubt-free vision of the self, which is in Sanskrit said to be Atma Jnana Nishtha. And Atma Jnana Nishtha, for Atma Jnana Nishtha, Jnana Nishtha means the steadfast knowledge or clear ascertained doubt-free vision is Nishtha, the Nishtha. For Atma Jnana Nishtha, Vidvat Sanyasaha. So through Vidvat Sanyasaha, through renunciation, one can attain this ascertained doubt-free vision, which is self-protection. So this Vidvat Sanyasaha, renunciation through knowledge. Renunciation is not for knowledge. Renunciation through knowledge is for ascertained knowledge. So renunciation through knowledge, jnana, this Vidvat Sanyasaha, And for Vidvat Sanyasaha, first what you should have first? Knowledge. So, Atma Jnanam, one must have got the knowledge already of the self. Atma Jnanam, one must have got already. How do you get Atma Jnanam? Through Shravanam and Mananam, you get the Atma Jnanam. And once you have self-knowledge, then you need Atma Jnana Nishtha. So through Vidvat Sanyasa, through renunciation, through knowledge, you had the ascertained vision, and through ascertained vision, you protect yourself. They are the four stages. It is presented there. Then, so Vidvat Sanyasaha is for the one who has done Shravanam and Mananam, one who has already knowledge. And the one who is not yet, one who has not yet attained knowledge, but one who has yet to attain knowledge, but one who is qualified for knowledge, for him Vidisha Sanyasaha is a sannyasa lifestyle. Isn't it? I taught it to both sannyasas. But for the one who is not yet qualified for knowledge, who is yet to become qualified for knowledge, for him, Karma Yoga lifestyle. Is it clear? Mm-hmm. Therefore, having introduced the Jnana Yogaha, the pursuit of knowledge, attainment of knowledge, the means of attainment of the clear vision, which is the Atma Rakshanam, is attainment of moksha. In a nutshell, the first mantra, the second mantra, as I said, we saw last class, the Karma Yoga is presented in a nutshell. So, Karma Yoga is a sadhanam, is a means. Means of what is the end that can be accomplished through a Karma Yoga? Preparedness required for Jnanam. So, Jnana Yogyata Pratyartham Karma Yoga. Jnana Pratyartham Jnana Yoga. Then, Jnana Nishtha Pratyartham is what? Vidvat Sanyasa. And Jnana Nishtha is for Rakshanam, Atma Rakshanam, which is Mokshaha. Absolute protection of the self implies what? Attainment of freedom, Jivan Mukti. So he presents the Karma Yoga in the second verse, and we have seen the Karma Yoga, what it means. What is living a life of Karma Yoga? I explained last class elaborately, which is something discussed repeatedly in Bhagavad Gita. We have already seen. So I have to continue with the second mantra. Kurvanne veha karmani.
Kurvanne veha karmani.
Jiji vishe chhatagam samaha.
Jiji vishe chhatagam samaha.
Evam tvayi.
Evam tvayi.
Nanyatheti nanyatha.
Nanyatheti nanyatha.
Okay. Nanyathe tosti.
Nanyathe tosti.
Evam tvayi.
Evam tvayi.
Nanyathe tosti.
Nanyathe tosti.
Na karma lipyate nare.
Na karma lipyate nare.
I spit the words first. Kurvanna eva iha karmani. Jiji vishet shatam samaha. May one desire to live for 100 years. may one have the desire to live the full total span of human life, 100 years. But how should he, the emphasis is not for, when you say may one desire to live for 100 years, or live one's full span of life, the emphasis may one have, one should have, one must have desire for living one full span of human life, the 100 years, means the emphasis is not for living long life, the emphasis is for doing one's karma, how one should live. The emphasis is on not one should have, not for living a long life, the emphasis is on how one should live one's life with the desire to live long. Already we all have naturally desire for living a long life. Really speaking, we do not want to die at all. We only say we want to die only when we go through some suffering and problems in life. We try to commit a suicide and we also wish I die. You know, we always, the desire for death is only when you are not able to put up with the suffering anymore. Or emotional trauma, when you are not able to handle the emotional trauma one goes through, then naturally one says, I can die. I don't want to live anymore. And I pray to Bhagavan to take me away soon. All these things people say really is only when they go through suffering and pain. When they are not ready to face any more difficulties in life, also they say this. But really speaking, the heart of the heart, if you ask, it is no problem, nothing, everything is going smoothly, nobody will like to die. This is the fact. So this is the natural, you know, wish of a human mind, the wish that's there in the human mind. So the Upanishad need not emphasis the teaching something, one should have desire to live long. Why should Upanishad all repeat the desire, repeat something, what a human being already has? In fact, Upanishads are not for restating what we already know. If Upanishads restate what we already know, then Upanishads will not have any reverence. The respect for Upanishads, reverence for Upanishads is due to their teaching what we do not already know, what we do not already have, isn't it? Therefore, may one have desire for living a long life, a complete full span of life, 100 years, means the emphasis is not on the desire for long life, but the emphasis is on how one should live one's life. It is very nice, what Upanishad says is indirectly, and it's very nice that you have desire for, naturally you have a desire for living a long life, desire for living a full span of life, the 100 years, that's fine. But please remember, along with the desire for living a long life, may you also have desire for living your life properly. How you live your life? Do you live your life properly or improperly? Once you are born, means you live somehow, you live. When the day comes and you go, you live, but how you live your life? That is more important. So the emphasis, that's why, kurvan eva, that is that eva actually makes it very clear, the emphasis is where. Where is the emphasis? No? That is revealed by the word, that indicable word, eva. Eva means, kurvanni eva, definitely performing your duties, meaning performing all the actions, performing all that a human being needs to perform in keeping with Vedic way of life, Vedic teaching. Or Veda enjoined activities. I already explained to you last class, so don't want to go into details. So, kurvanne eva, Shatam Samaha Jijivishet. And Jijivishet is in Sanskrit language called Sannantam Padam. Now, Jijivisha, desire to live. Jijivishet, no, the dhatu, the root has taken the san anta, the san affix. Sannantam Padam. Sannanta dhatu is there. It's called desiderative. So, Jijivishet is one word to say desire to live. Should desire to live. Must desire to live. May desire to live. That's the meaning. So, Jijivishet Satam Samaha. So, may a human being have a desire to live one's complete full span of life of 100 years along with what? The desire to live his life properly, in that is performing all the Veda enjoined duties. Veda enjoined duty, but Veda does not enjoin any duties. Knowing one's duties, may one live one's life. No, the way of life prescribed by the Veda, enjoined by the Veda. That is the meaning. Then he says, that means living a life enjoined by the Veda means living a karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga. Living a life of karma yoga is what? Living a life enjoined by the Veda. And second line he says, why is there any other alternative method, alternative way, other than living a life of karma yoga, is any other alternative method, other way by following which you can prepare yourself for knowledge, thereby you can attain knowledge, thereby you can go through vidvat sannyasa, thereby you can attain the jnana nishta, thereby you can protect yourself. It's a sequence, isn't it? Is there any way? First you prepare yourself for knowledge. So, Atma Rakshanam, self-protection is purely in clear, there's no self-protection other than clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the self, wherein you can see all that is here is nothing but myself. I am all. This must become very clear vision. When you see the ocean, the entire ocean is nothing but water. Wave is water, you say very well. Therefore, entire ocean is water, you can say. But here, you don't say individually is Paramatma, everything is Paramatma. You don't even say that. All that is here is Paramatma, is own understanding is fine. You know, I am all. All that is here, I do not see anything other than the self. All that is here is the Atma, the self, myself. For you, there is no you, there is no Ishvara. There is neither you, the individual, there is neither Ishvara there. You only see the reality. This is the vision, isn't it? This vision is the protection. Okay, that's why bhunji thaha, we have seen already. May you protect yourself. No, only through by that vision. And for that vision, you know, you must have what? No, you must have that for that ascertained vision, jnana nishta, that sthita pragya, ascertained clear vision. You know, you must be living completely a contemplative life, a contemplative disposition of the mind. You should have a contemplative life, now for which your mind must be completely free from all distractions. The contemplative life is not easy. Of course, you can be contemplative in the class also, the more you listen. But really, living a life of contemplation is called Vidvat Sannyasa. Which means you already know the fact, all that is here is myself, and then you ascertain that vision. And for which, there must be adequate dispassion. And the dispassion, how do you have dispassion? If you are not dispassionate, then contemplation is not possible. Because the passion, any passion anywhere will distract your attention. So dispassion, dispassion is not something which you can easily get by yourself. You cannot get dispassion, you can't buy dispassion. No, you cannot develop dispassion. Dispassion is something which has just an expression of maturity and which you have to discover. No, it has to be born of understanding. Dispassion is born of understanding. Understanding of what? It is the knowledge which is protection. And nothing else here will protect me. It is this understanding. Nothing else, no achievement, no accomplishment, no enjoyment, no possession, no desire, no object of desire will protect me. It is the knowledge which alone will protect me. So what can protect me? What cannot protect me? These two things. Because I am seeking protection. Mumukshu means a seeker of protection, absolute protection. You are seeking protection. That is why every day you go and ask, what do you ask Bhagavan? Oh Lord, protect me. Raksha, raksha. Every bhajan we sing, raksha, raksha. Pahi, pahi. You know, we sing that. Not even knowing you do not know what you are really asking for. Bhagavan one day has to, if that prayer becomes fulfilled, means, what should happen? You are really asking for absolute protection. Otherwise, you are asking something without knowing what you are asking for. The absolute protection is, it is the wisdom which is absolute protection. Wisdom implies what? The ascertained, clear, doubt-free, ever-remembered, unforgettable knowledge is the protection. Vision is the protection. And for with that vision, ascertained vision, you need to be contemplative. Being contemplative implies what? A vidvat sannyasa. Vidvat sannyasa means what? Renunciation. Renunciation means completely being free from passion and desire for anything in the world. That is why Eshanatraya Tyagaha. It doesn't mean that there's no frustration, there's no hatred towards anything. A sannyasi has no hatred, he's completely free from hatred. It is neither passion, nor aversion towards everything, no aversion also towards anything. It is not aversion. Dispassion is different from aversion, okay? I want to make it very clear here. There is no aversion towards children, progeny or world or anything. There is no aversion. Just the dispassion is neither passion nor aversion. Dispassion is just, understanding, born, maturity. That, you know what you want, you know what you do not want. You are very clear. It is knowledge is protection. Ascertained vision is protection. And anything else, everything, anything other than knowledge will not protect me. It is this clarity, it is this understanding, is understanding born condition of the mind is what? Dispassion. And that's called, that is the disposition of the mind entertained, enjoyed by a vidvat sannyasi. And he is a contemplative person. That contemplation will bless you with what? Jnana Nishtha. And for Jnana Nishtha, for you to contemplate on the fact that you understood, mental disposition, sannyasa. Sannyasa for mental disposition required for the contemplative disposition of the mind you have means, the mind must be free from passions and aversions. Mind which is free from passion and aversion is what? Dispassionate mind. And for which that is implied by the Vidvat Sannyasaha. Is it clear? And for that Vidvat Sannyasaha again, you must have already attained Jnanam. Must have already gone through Shravanam and Mananam. Isn't it? But here, you have not yet attained knowledge. And then you are not even qualified for knowledge. Look at this. So to attain Jnanam, now what you can do? You can go to do Shravanam and Mananam. But you are not yet qualified for knowledge means the lifestyles and options are there. So there's no, then you have, what choice you have? Living a life of Karma Yoga. So here the next line he says, there's no way, the only way. That's what, the choiceless path, if to prepare your mind for knowledge, the only choiceless path is what? That's what implied next line, na anyatha. Itaha means from here, literally it means from here, but from him, other than this lifestyle, no, other than this karma yoga sadhana, other than following this lifestyle, other than living a life karma yoga, anyatha asti. There is no way of preparing your mind for knowledge. Itaha anyatha nasti. You can say that mentally. The sentence is, why I am repeating the Ishavasya Upanishad words? The Upanishad sounds simple, but we have to say a lot to make it clear. Itaha anyatha nasti. Anyatha means there is no other alternative method. There is no other choice. Itaha anyatha nasti. And then he says, evam tvayi nare, because naraha in a human, no? For such a human being, evam tvayi nare. Naraha means a human being. It's a masculine gender word. For me, there's a word called nari, which is a woman. Naraha means man. Nari means a woman. Generally here as a, for a human being, for a man, for a woman, now for a human being, there is no other way of preparing oneself for knowledge. Because you still have identity. The strong identity is with the anatma. So when you anatma, the body-mind's complex, when you have identity with the body-mind's complex, that is why you can say, I am a human being, I am a man, I am a woman. This identity is still there. And for you, the one who still have a strong identity and who is not yet prepared for knowledge. And then even you know the importance of all the disciplines. How important it is to have mastery over my ways of thinking. How important it is for me to be mentally disciplined. How important it is for me to be sensorily disciplined. How important it is for me, you know the value of disciplines. You know the value of values. In spite of knowing the values, also you are not able to follow still disciplines and values. Which means somewhere some pratibandha is still there. Which means you need lot of, isn't it, preparation. The best way for you to prepare your mind is living a life of karma yoga. Really, we have to know where we stand, isn't it? Therefore, evam tvayi nare na anyatha itaha asti. There is no way of preparing your mind for knowledge. Is it clear? Then he says, one more small here. Once you prepare your mind for knowledge, if you live a life of karma yoga properly, then that is the proper way of living a life. You follow this. In due course of time, you will go through vidvatsan, you attain jnanam, you will go through vidvatsanyasaha, which means you will discover dispassion, which means you will have a mind which is free from passion and aversion towards everything and anything in the world, and your total commitment will be to the attainment of ascertained vision. You will enjoy that mental, that contemplative disposition of the mind, and we will be contemplative. Thereby you will have jnana nishtha. You will have ascertained vision, and that ascertained vision, thereby through the attainment of ascertained vision, you can protect yourself. Understand? That is what is said here. And here, protect yourself means you will become free from bondage of karma. You attain jnanam. Jnana nishtha means what? Attainment of jnana nishtha means attainment of the ascertained, doubt-free, clear, ever-remembered, unforgettable vision of the Atma being everything, the Self being everything. Where I-sense is resolved, the Ishvara is resolved, there is nothing other than the Atma, the Self. There is neither Jiva-Atma, not Parama-Atma, there is only Atma. Understand? Don't see it. You don't need to say, isn't it? Everything is Atma here, the Self. When you have that vision, it is having that vision, really, vision is what? Actually freedom. That which is protection, which means we become free from all the wrong notions you entertain about yourself, wherein the doership resolves, the enjoyership resolves, punya papa resolve, you know, all your emotions resolve, all the thoughts resolve, which is freedom from mind, which is called what now? Moksha jivan muktihi. Then you're free from bondage. Because for the person for whom the Self, for him the Self is, the meaning of the word I is Atma. There is no I for him. I means Atma only for him. Not, for such a person is not tainted by any karma. No punyam for him, no papam for him. Na lipyate means not tainted. Untainted, untouched, because untouched by punyam and papam. He has no punyam, no papam. He is free from bondage of karma. That is the meaning. Na lipyate. But here, Adishankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary makes some grammatical correction. Okay, we are not supposed to correct the Veda mantras. We are supposed to question why Veda used like this. We never question. Vedaha means just bow to. Whatever Veda says, we bow to. But we have to understand here. Okay? Karma na lipyate means is not tainted. It's a passive verb. Understand? So, you are not tainted. You are not touched. If the wise person is not tainted. Atma jnana nishtaha na lipyate. The person of clear, ascertained, doubt-free vision of the Self, in whose vision all that is, there is the Self, such a person is not tainted by bondage of karma. He is not bound by karma. He is not touched by, tainted by punya papas. Na lipyate. And then karma means what? Karma, karmana na lipyate. It must have been grammatically karmana na lipyate. Is it clear? The wise person is not tainted by karma. It must have been. Which means that the word must have been what now? Karmana. But the mantra has which word? Only karma. It must be in instrumental case. That is karma. Otherwise, what should it? Karma, the verb should have been otherwise. Na limpati. karma na limpati, it must have been. Karma na limpati means what? This karma does not taint or touch a wise person who is free from doership and enjoyership, who has resolved notions in his clear vision, wrong notions about the self in clear vision. So, karma na limpati, it must have been, or karma na na lipyate. Karma does not taint a wise person, or a wise person is not tainted by karma. Which means it must have been, how? The verb must have been limpati, na limpati, understand? Or the object must have been karmana na lipyate. Is it clear? It's for our understanding, not to correct mantra, for you to understand. So you can say atmajnana nishtaha karmana na lipyate. You have to make a sentence. That is why Ishavasam is not taught in the beginning. Understand? Because lots of information you have to know. Now we can move on to the next mantra. You also better for you to know the prose order also. Iha, say. Iha. Naraha. Karmani kuruvanna eva. Jijivishet. Shatam samaha. Evam. Tvayi. Nare. Karma. You can say. Na limpati. Itaha. Anyatha. Nasti. This is a simple the pose order. Okay, I said that. Or karmana na lipyate. You have to make that understand. Now we are entering into the third verse. Before entering here, a doubt comes. The doubt means, now Shankara has prescribed, not Upanishad has prescribed two sadhanani, jnana yogaha and karma yogaha. Jnana yogaha is for the knowledge and karma yogaha is for the preparation required for knowledge. It's very clear, but still the doubt comes, are these two sadhanas prescribed for the same person or for two different people? Same person or for two different people, two different individuals, two different types of people? Or sometimes the question comes, or both should be followed simultaneously? So it's called, there are people who argue karma and knowledge should be combined as a means of attainment of knowledge, which is mokshaha. Karma and knowledge should be combined for attainment of mokshaha. And such, you know, synthesis of karma and jnanam, action and knowledge. We have to combine both so that we can attain moksha. There are many people of many different schools of philosophy, you know, schools of thought. They all present very interesting arguments, stating it is knowledge alone is not enough for mokshaha. Knowledge has to be combined with karma for attaining mokshaha. It's a big argument. Shankara is going to, actually the main commentary on second verse doesn't deal talk much about karma yoga. He only talks about this. And then the Shankara uses, actually, yuktihi means reasoning. Shrutihi, you know, means Shrutihi here is the Veda mantras. So quoting different Veda mantra from different Upanishads, Shankara Bhagavatpada establishes that knowledge and karma cannot be combined. Need not be combined, cannot be combined. The synthesis of karma and jnanam does not become the means for, you know, attainment of moksha. He establishes, it's called Shruti Pramanam. Shruti Pramanena means use quoting different Upanishads quotation, not only here, he goes to different other Upanishads and brings those quotations and presents them here, and then he establishes how Shruti restates everywhere. One thing is made very clear, that knowledge and karma cannot be combined, first of all. They cannot be combined as the means of attainment of moksha. Not only that, he also, logically also, he establishes how knowledge and action cannot be combined. And the combination of knowledge and karma is called Jnana Karma Samuchayaha. And the people who, present their arguments saying that knowledge and karma should be combined, they are called Jnana Karma Samuchaya Vadinaha. So in the very introductory Bhashyam itself, he presents logically, he establishes how knowledge and karma cannot be combined, which I have yet to do for you. When I'll do Bhashyam, I'll do it for you. And now here, in this context, in his commentary on the second verse, second mantra, Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada establishes through Shruti, presenting different the Shruti quotations, Upanishad quotations, he establishes how knowledge and karma cannot be combined, need not be combined. Why? Because the bondage is purely because of ignorance. So for freedom from bondage, you don't need to do any karma. All that you need is just the jnanam alone, not karma. You don't do anything. Knowledge is enough for moksha. But karma is karma required or not? If knowledge alone is enough for pure knowledge, unmixed, without any mixing with any karma, it just cognitive shift alone is required for moksha. Physically, orally, mentally, you need not do anything. All that you need is clarity of vision for moksha. Knowledge alone is enough for moksha, because the bondage is caused by ajnanam, ignorance. What needs to be dispelled is ignorance. What you need is jnanam, not any karma. It need not be combined with any karma at all. He makes it very clear. If that is so, then do we need to perform karma at all? Not. Why should we not only pursue knowledge? Because you are not ready for it. Understand? Of course, knowledge alone is enough. Knowledge alone is required for moksha. But for that jnanam, for knowledge to rise in your mind must be how? It must be subtle, it must be sharp, it must be entanglement free, sharp, clear, ready mind. Mind is required for that knowledge to rise. And for that's called qualification required for knowledge, we say. For preparing your mind for knowledge, for the mind to become jnana yogyata patram, isn't it? For the knowledge to rise there in the mind, you need what? You need to perform karma. Therefore, karma yogaha and jnana yogaha, they cannot become simultaneously, they cannot serve as means of attainment of moksha. Karma yogaha and jnana yogaha, both are, karma yogaha is an indirect means of moksha, attainment of moksha. Jnana yoga, jnanam is what now? The direct means of moksha. But still, they sequentially, they become means of the attainment of moksha, not simultaneously. So, nakarma and jnanam are not simultaneous, you know, the means of attainment of moksha, but sequential means of attainment of moksha. This he establishes. Okay, I do not go into the details because that I have to do separately the bhashyam, but this is what he presents this in his commentary. Is it clear?
Okay.
Yeah. So now with this understanding, therefore karma yoga, one has to live a life karma yoga, not for two different people, but two different adhikaris. The people who are of two different preparedness. A person who is mentally prepared, for him jnana yoga. The one who is not yet prepared, for him karma yoga. So for two different adhikaris, two different sadhanani. But everyone has to, what now? For everyone has to go through karma yoga first, then prepare oneself for knowledge, then jnana yoga, then attain jnanam, then vidvat sannyasa, then jnana nishta, then rakshanam. Okay, protection. Protect oneself. This he presents. We'll definitely see elaborately that when they'll do the bhashyam for you. I'm going to do that anyway later on. Let's go to the mantra. Look, I have to prepare you for the bhashyam first. You know? Okay. So as I said earlier, from this third mantra onwards, the sutra mantras are elaborately discussed. I told you the first sutra mantra, the jnana yoga, the content of the first mantra is jnana yoga, and that jnana yoga, the content of the first mantra, is discussed here from the third to the eighth. Isn't it? So we'll see here now. Asurya namate loka.
Asurya namate loka.
Andhena.
Andhena.
Tamasa vrita.
Tamasa vrita.
Tamste.
Tamste.
Pretya bhigachanti.
Pretya bhigachanti.
Yeke.
Yeke.
Chatmahano jana.
Chatmahano jana.
Asurya nama. Say no.
Asurya nama.
Te lokaha.
Te lokaha.
Andhena,
andhena,
tamasa,
tamasa,
avritaha,
avritaha,
tan,
tan,
te,
pretya,
abhigacchanti,
abhigacchanti,
ye,
ke,
cha,
cha,
atmahanaha,
atmahanaha,
janaha,
janaha.
Okay. See, before entering into the elaboration of the jnana yoga, Upanishad first wants to glorify jnana yoga. Why glorification is required? Something is glorified means we'll be interested. Isn't it? Like advertisement. Anything advertised draws your attention. If something is glorified means, and we look up to, isn't it? Anything which is discussed, now you have glorifications or praise is always for drawing our attention. And you don't simply, it's not simple flat, it deserves flat praise, isn't it? See, praising, Shastram always praises which deserves the praise. Simply, you don't praise something which doesn't deserve the praise. But Shastram praises something, glorifies something, means it deserves the glorification. So naturally, it is a genuine glorification of something which deserves the glorification, so it draws our attention. So here, the Upanishad is going to present elaborately the Jnana Yoga. And before entering into the elaboration of Jnana Yoga, Upanishad wants to present the glorification of Jnana Yoga. And sometimes the glorification is not directly presented. Indirectly, the glorification is what? Indirect glorification. So, what does it mean by saying indirect glorification means what? No, there's two ways. Suppose Vasanti cooked, Tara also cooked. There are only two people here. Okay. And then if I say, Tara's cooking was very good. No, I don't say that. Tara's cooking is not that good. Only two people, okay? What does it mean? I tell Vasanti, Tara's cooking is not that good. It means what? Your cooking is excellent. Your cooking is very good. I praise Vasanti indirectly by, isn't it? Not praising or finding fault or criticizing or condemning the other person's cooking. Is it clear? I don't mean it actually. Okay, both of them. I just, and tomorrow's bhiksha is from there. It's just an example. It's like, isn't it? So always condemning or condemnation of a given thing really becomes the glorification of something different, opposed to it, isn't it? Like here also, in order to praise the Jnana Yoga, he condemns, not Karma Yoga, okay. he has to praise Jnanam. Not to glorify Jnanam, he condemns Ajnanam. So condemnation of ignorance is in fact indirect glorification of knowledge. It's all Upanishad state. It's all small, small thing, but you have to know this. So in order to, so condemnation of ignorance is glorification of knowledge. And the condemnation of ignorance is how is it done here? You know, through the condemnation of the ignorant. The ignorant people are condemned, criticized. Understand? So by through condemning the ignorant people, Upanishad condemns ignorance, thereby it presents its glorification of knowledge. This is the teaching. Okay? So here let us see how Upanishad indirectly glorifies knowledge through condemnation of ignorance. That not ignorance, ignorant are condemned here. Who are the ignorant people who are condemned here? For his Atmahanaha Janaha. Look at this. Very first, no? Atmahanaha Janaha. Janaha people, the ignorant people are Atmahanaha Janaha. You know, this Atmahanaha means destroyers, killers, those who assassinate, you know, the self. Here, the kill, the destroyers of the self. Those the killers, those who kill the self. Atmahanaha Janaha. So, Atma, this Ha, the Atmaha means the destroyer of the self. The one who kills one's own self is called Atmaha. It has come from the root Han, The han is the root, dhatuhu. The verb is hanti. You know, actually very funny, eh? So, hanti, gnataha, gnanti. That's how it comes. Not gachati, gachataha, gachanti. Hanti, gnataha, gnanti. That is the formation. Don't worry about all those things. Take it easy. So, atmanam hanti, isn't it? The one who kills one's own self is called atmaha. Atmaha, atmahano, atmahanaha. The destroyers of their own selves. The self-killer. Self-assassinate is called what? You know? The self-destroyer is atmahana, atmaha. Atmaha, singular. Atmahanaha, plural. So, atmahanaha janaha means the ignorant people are those people who destroy themselves. Who kill their selves, the killers of their selves. What does it mean here? You know, see those people here, those who are the people who kill them, who kill the self, who are said to be the, you know, the destroyers of the self, the people who remain ignorant, who continue to remain ignorant, who do not take care of, you know, the resolving the ignorance, who do not make any effort for knowledge. Such people, you know, who continue to remain ignorant, the ignorant people are figuratively said here, you know, mentioned by this expression, atmahanaha janaha, means ajnaninaha janaha, ignorant people, who are ignorant of the self, could not make any effort to know the self. That they are killing themselves. They already killed themselves. They remain the slayers. Why? Because, see, suppose I have a jacket in my suitcase. If I know I have a jacket, what can I do? I won't be shivering, isn't it? I can use it. If I know the existence, the presence of the jacket in my suitcase, then I can have the, I can enjoy the benefit of having the jacket in cold weather. I can enjoy the benefit of having it, isn't it? I have the jacket, but I do not know that I have it in my suitcase, is as good as not having the jacket. Not only not having it, I do not have the, I cannot enjoy the benefit of, isn't it, having the warm, I can't enjoy the benefit of keeping myself warm by using that jacket. I miss out, isn't it? Therefore, it's called what now? Is not knowing that I have, not knowing it is there, is as good as not having it. And not having it is what? Like that here also, not knowing the self is not knowing the Atma, not knowing the self, is in fact as good as not having the self. Not having the self means what? Not being able to enjoy the benefit, not be having the, being able to enjoy the benefit of what, the luxury of the fullness. So then not knowing it is what now? That's why she says such people, good people are said to have killed themselves. Atmahanaha janaha. Is it clear? Mm-hmm. So atmahanaha janaha. Therefore, you have it, but not knowing is not being able to enjoy the benefit of the luxury of reveling in fullness. Not only that, unsuffering. Not only you don't have the benefit of enjoying the luxury of fullness, reveling in fullness, but you also go through unnecessary emotional trauma, the physical, emotional problems, making your life miserable, making others' life also miserable. The two ways, isn't it? In ignorance, not only you don't have the benefit of enjoying the luxury of reveling in fullness, but you also you make your life most miserable life, and you make others' life also miserable, helplessly. Not that you want intent to make. That is why we are always blessed. Whenever we make others' lives miserable, we do not do it knowingly. Okay, completely helplessly. We don't know what else to do, how to how to behave, how to act. Nothing. Completely governed by our own minds, caught up in that, and our behavior is like that. Such people to be what now? Atmahanaha janaha. And Upanishad says, and who are these people here? What do these ignorant people do? Yekecha atmahanaha janaha, and such ignorant people who are as good as the destroyers of the self, their own selves. Such people, asurya nama te lokaha. Those people, first we say, yecha atmaha janaha, those people who remain ever ignorant, not knowing what the self is, thereby not being able to enjoy the benefit of the luxury of reveling in fullness, thereby not knowing, not being able to enjoy the benefit of not going through the suffering, such people who are said to be the killers of the selves, killers of their own self, such people, te abhigacchanti, they go to. Where do they go to? When do they go to? Pretya. After leaving this one body, after the fall of this body, pretya means after the death. After leaving this physical body, it is not the end of this body, is not the end of life anyway, isn't it? We had to, once you study Upanishad, be so relieved and relaxed that it is not the end of life. Only just this body goes. Pretya, after leaving this body, after the death, fall of this body, abhigacchanti, they can't go to another body. Abhigacchanti, which means they continue to travel from one body to another body, and which is called what? Going through samsaraha. It's called, they go, abhigacchanti means they go through life of transmigration, called samsaraha. Going from one mother's womb to another mother's womb. From human mother's womb, they may have to go to lizard's womb, or frog's womb, a rat's womb, tiger's womb, monkey's womb, or a plant's womb, we don't know. Or, not such bad, no. Or some other mother, again another mother's, human mother's womb. It's called transmigration. They'll go from, what I want to say, there's no moksha means, they'll continue to be born again and again. Abhigacchanti, te abhigacchanti. You should remember, it's a condemnation of ignorance, okay? They continue to go through life of transmigration. Abhigacchanti, te abhigacchanti. As said in Bhajagovindam. What is that verse? You all should remember now. Punarapi maranam
Punarapi jananam, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatare shayanam. Iha samsare, bahudustare.
You remember that verse now? Punarapi, punaha, again and again, punaha maranam, punaha jananam, punaha maranam, punaha jananam, jananam, maranam, jananam, maranam, jananam, ananam, punaha, 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 breakfast, lunch, dinner, breakfast, supper, lunch, supper, breakfast, and one day finish, and then again, come back. This continues. Again going through winter, summer, spring, autumn, again, like this, will come back. Which shariram, we do not know, okay? Okay, even if a human body itself, we can so abhigacchanti. When? Pretya. Pretya abhigacchanti. Te pretya abhigacchanti. Those people, they go, what now? They continue to go through this life of transmigration. Who? Atmahanaha janaha. Ignorant people. Okay. Who miss the benefit of knowing the self, knowing the self, what the self is. For them, self is as good as non-existent. For the ignorant person, self is as good as non-existent. For the one who is self is as good as non-existent, he has killed the self. Prabhupada uses a very strong expression, atmahanaha, atmahanaha janaha. And how do they travel, like such, that is the next, first line. Where do they go to? Asuryaha nama te lokaha. Here, they go to those lokas. Not those loka, te lokaha. Here, lokaha literally means, you have to be very careful, Ishavasya Upanishad. Every word gives a different meaning, okay? The word lokaha literally means the world. Generally, the world, the objective universe, objective world, is called, the world of objects is called lokaha. But here, the word lokaha means, it implies the birth. And the birth implies what? The body. Therefore, the word lokaha implies the shariram, dehaha. Understand, that is why Ishavasam is not taught in the very beginning. But I have decided to teach. Because you are not exposed to quite a lot of teaching. So, lokaha means the different bodies. Why? Here the question comes, why the body is called lokaha? That I need to explain. Lokaha means the whole world of objects is called lokaha. Why the physical body is called lokaha? Because the word lokaha has come from the root look. Okay? Lokyate iti lokaha. Lokyate means that which is experienced. Anything which is experienced is lokaha. And the whole objective world of objects is what? Available for experience. That is why the world is called lokaha. In Sanskritam, every word you have to have proper meaning. Reason why this object is indicated by this word. There is an explanation. The world is called lokaha because it is available for experience. And not only the world, every object which is available for experience also is what? Lokaha. Lokaha, lokaha, lokaha. You can say everything is lokaha here. Anything experienceable, available for experience, objectification, isn't it? Perception is what? Lokaha. And what about the physical body? Physical body is very much available for experience. not only the size, not only the weight, not only the shape and form, also what, my God, back pain, front pain, the disease, the old age, the wrinkles, the mental, no? The mind, the mental, the emotional problems, the physical problems, and the aging, the growth. My God, 10 years ago, how this fellow was, now look at this fellow, how he looks so tall and huge. All these changes, everything associated with the body is what? Clearly available for experience. That is why all the things associated with the body. That is why body is also lokaha. I had to go slowly like this. It's okay for you?
No, it's pretty good. Pretty
clear. So lokaha. So he says now lokaha. The bodies. Not one body, okay? Lokaha. And what is lokaha? Te lokaha. No, asuriyaha nama. Asuriyaha is adjective for these bodies. Implied by the word lokaha. Asuriyaha means anything pertaining to asuraha is called asuriya. Asuraha is another word. Asuriya is another word. Now, to understand asuriya, you have to understand asuraha. Asuraha literally means what? A demon. A giant. Is a demon is called asuraha. A wrongdoer, a wicked, you know, demon is called asuraha. Literally, literal meaning. In Purana, asuraha means the frightening wrongdoer, a wicked person is presented. In Ramayana, we say, you know, Rama, like Hiranyakashipu. All Puranas present all the wrongdo, you know, people. So here asuraha means, who is asuraha? We don't go to other people, okay? Asuras are in us. So, asushu ramate yaha saha asuraha. Asuhu means pranaha. Asuhu means prana. Is it? The life force is called pranaha. Pranaha implies what? The body. Asushu is equal to praneshu. Praneshu means shareeshu, deheshu. Ramante iti asuraha. Asushu ramate iti asuraha. Which means what? Those who contribute for, you know, those who are contribute predominantly for the sense enjoyment of pleasures are said to be asuraha. So contributing predominantly for the enjoyment of pleasures means doing even or through, you know, improper means also. See, being given to the enjoyment of pleasure is very natural. Enjoying a pleasure is not wrong thing. The jagat is there, the world of objects of enjoyment are there for enjoyment, isn't it? The body is given to you for what? Enjoying, isn't it? So the here, but when you predominantly you contribute for enjoyment of the physical pleasures, which means what? Even going through the wrong means also means you are asuraha. Understand? Through wrong means, one long ago I said the difference between asuraha and rakshasaha. Do you remember that? Don't remember? See, if a person performs wrong actions for acquiring artha, then that wrongdoer is rakshasaha. If a person performs wrong actions for the enjoyment of pleasures, for kama, understand, then he is called asuraha. Both are wrong. Asuraha, rakshasaha, both are wrongdoers. And those who pursue artha through wrong means are rakshasaha. Those who pursue kama, pleasures through wrong means are called asuraha. But here mainly bodily, you know, physical pleasures. So asuraha means those who predominantly contribute for the enjoyment of physical pleasures, even through wrong means, are asuraha, generally. No? But here, asuryaha lokaha means the bodies of asuras. So, asuryaha lokaha means asura sharirani. Asura sharirani. That means what? Upanishad condemns the ignorant person. Any ignorant person's is what? Ignorant person assumes a body which is asura's body. Any body condemns as what? Asura shariram. Okay, what about the human body? I have done lots of punyam, so I'll assume a nice body. Brahmana shariram. Because why? You assumed a body and you are born means you are ignorant. Isn't it? Being ignorant means, being ignorant itself is Upanishad calls an asura. As an ignorant person, remaining ignorant, not as atmahanaha, remaining ignorant, now once you die, what happens? You will be going through samsara. You will be assuming a body after body after body. Isn't it? So assumption of body is what? Any body. What if you attain, whether you attain a plant body, asura deha, pashu deha, what about a cow's body, an animal body, snake's body, any body asura deha. Okay, leave all these ordinary creatures. What about a human body? Brahmana deha, asura deha, kshatriya deha, asura deha. Now, king's body, being a king, body with a king, being a king, asura deha. What about kshatriya, vaishudra, vaishya? Any, doesn't matter, any shariram is what? Asura deha, asuryaha, asuryaha lokaha. What about a celestial? Not human body at all. Upanishad Shankara, I'm not doing the bhashyam now anyway. He mentions, what about the celestial body? No, deva shariram, gandharva shariram, or Ramba Urvashi's beautiful, no, celestial beings' bodies. Asura deha. Whether it is a deva shariram, manushya shariram, mriga shariram, no, sthavara shariram, what about Indra's body? Suppose, imagine, okay, much higher form other than the human body. Doesn't matter. Whichever body you attain, whichever loka you go to, whichever, you know, the world of objects and pleasures you enjoy, still, you know, any body you have is what? However greatest pleasure you enjoy also, assuming the much highest form of body and going through highest world, enjoying the best, highest form of pleasures also, when the punyam gets exhausted, you would be pushed back. Therefore, nothing great. Wherever you go, your ajnanam continues to be there, you see. Keeping the ajnanam safe in your buddhi, and you go wherever you travel, it is like, you know, as a sick person, people, you know, when you mentally, that's what we say, mentally you are sick, you are unhappy, and then you want to change the place. The vastu is not okay, it will change from this place to another place. Let me move to another place. Let me move to another country. Let me move with new friends. Let me change my wife. Let me change my husband. Let me do all those things. No? Whatever changes you make, your sickness, you have your own emotional problems. And with your own emotional problems, whatever you change, now you continue to be the same person with the change. Similarly, is it clear now? So, whichever loka you go to, whichever body you assume, whatever pleasures you enjoy, still you continue to be what? Ignorant. Is it clear? So as long as you remain ignorant, irrespective of how much punyam you have acquired, accomplished, what all punya karmas you have done, what all best of pleasures you enjoy, what all best of forms you have assumed, also, you know, whatever you have achieved also, still as long as you remain ignorant, what happens? You cannot escape going through life of transmigration, where you have to go through pains and pleasures, both. Is you can't escape. Samsara you cannot escape. So that's why he says, Asuryaha nama te lokaha. So pretya abhigacchanti kutra. Where do they go to? They are assuming different bodies. And all those bodies are what? All those bodies are in whichever body you enjoy also, still there'll be what? Deha abhimana. There'll be identity. There'll be identity with that form. I'm a Devaha, I'm a Indraha, I'm a Ramba, I'm a Urvasi, I'm a Gandharva. Now still identity will be with that particular body. If you lose the human body and you lose even that identity also, without the identity also you will be with the still in the body. An animal shariram. Animal body, isn't it? Therefore, that's why he says what? Asuryaha namate lokaha, which means they'll continue to be assuming, going through samsara, one after the other, going through different births and deaths, assuming different bodies, okay, and which are what? Assuming different bodies, having identity with those bodies, assuming different bodies, having identity with those bodies, and contributing primarily, predominantly for the enjoyment of physical pleasures. Is it clear? Here he doesn't talk about the wrong enjoyment of wrongly enjoying pleasures. Isn't it? You can't help. Once you have the body, you have identity with the body. With the identity with the body means, and then you would be given to the enjoyment of, you'd be contributing, not given. Being given is natural. But you'll be contributing for the enjoyment of bodily pleasures. Understand? Then you continue, you remain steeped in ignorance. So, asuryaha nama te lokaha. What does the sentence mean? Te lo, those worlds, those bodies, okay. These ignorant people will be going through samsara, now continuously being born, birth after birth, assuming different bodies. And having identity with the bodies and predominantly contributing for the enjoyment of physical pleasures. And such, they'll be assuming the bodies which are actually the bodies of asuras. So here, how are the ignorant people condemned here? The ignorant people bodies are asura bodies means ignorant people are condemned as asuras. Understand, a human being has the possibility of being an asura. And he has the possibility of freeing himself from being an asura. So here asuraha means the one who has the body, thereby one who is contributing for the enjoyment of the bodily pleasure is called asura. Is it clear now? So asuryaha nama te lokaha. One more word. Andhena tamasa avritaha. Just one mantra come to complete it takes so long. Andhena tamasa avritaha. See, avritaha means covered. Those people, no, they remain covered. Literally it means covered. Covered means no, covering. Avritaha. They remain covered, which means they remain completely immersed. They remain steeped. Steeped in what? Steeped in ignorance. Which ignorance? They remain steeped in darkness of ignorance. Andhena tamasa avritaha. They are immersed in the darkness of ignorance of the self. What does it mean here? No, not simple ignorance, okay? The darkness can blind your eyes. The darkness covers the objects, opaque things, and even though you have very distortion-free eyes vision, still the darkness makes you blind. Why? You are not able to see the opaque things. So blind, the darkness blind your eyes. Similarly, the darkness of ignorance also blinds the eye of knowledge, the buddhi. The eye of knowledge is blind. Really, the darkness of ignorance blind your eye of knowledge. Therefore, what happens? He said, tamasena andhena tamasa avritaha. Remaining steeped in ignorance, assuming the bodies and having identity with the bodies helplessly. Okay? Assuming the bodies, having identity with the bodies, and helplessly being given to contributing for the enjoyment of bodily physical pleasures. And these people, they what? Pretya, go through samsara, life of transmigration, remaining ever ignorant, not being able to enjoy the benefit of the luxury of fullness, not being able to enjoy the benefit of freeing themselves from the miserable life. The misery they go through in life. Not miserable life, misery they go through in life. Is it clear? Therefore, how it is, ignorance is condemned here. Therefore, what should we do is knowledge. Again, is called, which means, oh my God, if we have no jnanam, we can't really escape samsara. So next verse is going to be start the nature of the Atma. The crux verse comes in the fourth verse. I have to stop now. Do I have to? Yeah. Have you got the meaning now?
Yep.
All the words are clear?
Yep. This tamasa means?
Tamas is a neutral gender word. Tamas means darkness. Because here we have, I'm sorry, tamas means ignorance. Tamas also means darkness. But here, the tamas here implies ignorance. Andhena tamasana, the darkness which blind your eyes. Similarly, the darkness of ignorance blind your jnana chakshu, eye of knowledge, isn't it? Thereby you are not able to see the self. Not seeing the self is what? Being blinded, isn't it? By your own ignorance. Therefore you miss out.
Tamaste?
Tamasa, andhena tamasa. This andhena is adjective for tamas. Avritaha.
The following verse, tamste.
Tan te means what? Those people. Tan lokan pre abhigacchanti. Tan means them. See, you have to spit that word, okay? Tan. I was going to connect it actually. Tan abhigacchanti. Tan means what? Tan lokan. those are the asuryaha. See, those loka, those bodies, the asura dehas, asura sharirani, those bodies, no, asura bodies, means what? No, not the bodies, they assume, and that why he said, tan is adjective for lokas. Tan is adjective, no, it implies the lokas. These are the bodies, and then these people remain steeped in, these bodies also what? No, remain, you know, steeped in ignorance, and then these people remain steeped in ignorance, and such bodies, isn't it? These people continue to attain those bodies. அவைகளை இருந்த பிறகு அப்படிப்பட்ட உடம்புகளை அடைகிறார்கள். No, that's the word, that's the meaning. They attain those bodies. Not all the words together, one after the other, continuously, endlessly. Is it clear?
Mm-hmm. So,
let me finish this. Let me finish. Okay, we can stop it here.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
See, because the live streaming, what happened, people are watching, no? They get confused. And it's okay. What happens, when I finish, after you can ask me. Anything I miss here, you ask me after I finish here, okay? I have no problem. I'm ready to answer all your questions. You can ask. Please feel free to ask me anything you want to ask me. But when I finish it. In between, no? No.
I've often heard Asurapasi, I've heard this expression.
Asurapasi, you see, the over appetite, you know, the greed exists of greed for enjoyment of any sensory pleasure. It can be food, it can be sex, it can be enjoyment of other, no, it can be any sensory object, sensory pleasure, any sensory pleasure. Yeah. See, what happens, really speaking, asuraha means only wrong, through wrong actions we say. But here, Upanishad condemns, what about the wrong actions? You know, even as long as you have even the right also, even the right is means also, enjoyment is not wrong, but you had enjoy, one janma you are allowed means, enjoy under the limitation, grow out of it. But don't, understand what I am saying? See, enjoy. This janma is given to you for you to enjoy. Enjoy, but how long? Not until 90 or 80 years old, isn't it? When you're young, enjoy and then learn the limitation, grow out of it. That is sannyasa ashrama, isn't it? That's a grihastha ashrama for you to enjoy everything and then grow out of it. In a Vedic culture, really does not allow doesn't condemn, but it's all because of which means we have not really trained ourselves properly. That is why this has come at wrong age, isn't it? The maturity, you know, we should really prepare ourselves. It can be for anything. It can be even for, you know, the food is very tasty. Why you can't stop with one, you know, go for a second cake, do a second cup of pudding. We won't say. It's the enjoy, isn't it? But you have to see, like anything. That's why even when you're young, you say anything in moderation. And even in moderate and enjoy also, you learn the limitation, grow out of it. You can grow out when you see the limitation of it. That's the problem, not seeing, able to see the limitation of it, you know, that it cannot give you what you want. That is what Shastram says, the mature person. In the Mundaka Upanishad, there is a verse. No, the word Brahmana has many meanings. One of the meanings of the word Brahmana is the mature person, who is the relatively mature, who is the in the indifferent, no, person, the Brahmanaha. The thing is, the one who learns from his own life's experiences. What does he learn? You know, he learns means he enjoys everything in life, goes through everything in life. Finally, one lesson he learns: nothing in the world will make me happy. One small lesson: nothing in the world can give me happiness. I have everything. Everything could have, they're all, everything must have been pleased you so long. But they can please you for, they have time limitation, they're time bound. They can't please you all the 24 hours a day. No object can please you. Know that? You get irritated really sometimes. Any object of desire, pleasure, will become most boring, unwanted object after some time. Slowly. This is the fact. If a person has learned this, you know, then that life has contributed for his growth. Then that life is a meaningful life. Then for a person to learn from his own experiences, he must be sharp. If he's a buddhu, dud, then he can't learn. And for him to be an intelligent person, to learn from his experiences, to know the limitations of everything that he enjoyed in life, without any aversion towards them, you know, he slowly becomes dispassionate, he grows out of desire for them. You know, the slow growth, maturity, gradual, steady growth. Gradual, steady. That's why overnight does not grow. So overnight nothing should become ripe, isn't it? Slowly, it has to. That's why people, ashramas are there, for us to grow properly, gradually. You know, then for that, a person should live a life of dharma. Shastram says, you must live a life of dharma so that you become sensitive, alert, sharp, that you will be able to learn. If you don't live dharma, then you can't even learn. You will continue to be an uncivilized. Isn't it? So that's what Shastram says, why you should learn also. Pariksha lokan karmachitan nirveda mayad brahmanah. That's the verse. Pariksha lokan karmachitan nirveda mayad brahmanah. It's a very most quoted verse. Brahmanah nirveda mayad. May he discover this indifference, means he discover dispassion. It was everything. How? Only by analyzing his own life's experiences. Pariksha, lokan, all that he has accomplished in his life. There the word loka means all that he enjoyed in his life, experiences. Lokan, karmachitan, by all his efforts, what all he has achieved. Karmachitan, lokan, pariksha. Brahmanaha, nirvedamayat. Discover his passion. Apada, no, that's it. It's said,